Hello and welcome. Hello and welcome to a new episode of Life Coach Chat on the Life Coach Radio Network. We're very excited to be on the air with you today for our newest episode, Self-Transformation Breakthrough Secrets. My name is Joanna Swift, and I'm live on the air with my co-hosts, Veronica Taylor and Kathleen West. And we're going to be talking to you today about how to implement really specific, practical tips in order to take control of your career, your free time, your love life, your health, or anything else that you just don't know what to do next in order to start moving forward in the direction that you want to go in. We're going to be offering easy, practical information that's going to help propel you to the next level, whatever that might mean for you. And as we know as coaches, that means something different for everybody. So we're going to be offering tips that any of you can put into practice where you are right now to help you get to that place that you want to be next. And we're very excited to be bringing this topic to you today. As I said, I'm on the air with Veronica Taylor and Kathleen West, and I'll just take a moment to introduce the two of them and myself. So Veronica Taylor is the founder of Life Leaders Coaching, and that can be found at www.lifeleaderscoaching.com. Veronica has designed a three-step coaching process: discover, grow, and sustain, which supports clients through leadership transformation to ensure long-term success in all aspects of life. Veronica, hi.
Hello. Thank you for that amazing introduction. I couldn't have done it better myself.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me in such a great topic. I think it's such a fundamental aspect of our personal growth, and I think it's going to be very informational for our listeners today.
Absolutely, and I'm so excited to have you on board for this. I can't wait to hear what you have to bring.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm also here today with Kathleen West, who is the founder of Tay West Coaching. As a life and personal development coach, Kathleen works with women and students who are moving from one phase of their life to another and wish to accomplish goals with sustainable results. Kathleen, hey, how you doing?
Hi, Joanna. Thank you for having me today.
You're welcome. I'm really excited to have you on the air. And for those of you who don't know, which is probably most of you, Kathleen and I were able to have the experience of training together a little bit when we were newbie coaches just starting out. So I'm really excited to be able to connect with Kathleen again.
I'm very excited to be here. It's a wonderful topic, and it's something that will help anyone listening move forward in making decisions that they need to make in their lives.
Absolutely. And finally, I'll introduce myself. My name is Joanna Swift, and I used to dress up as a dead person and talk to thousands of strangers a year for a living, which was a really unique experience. And I'll tell you more about that if anybody's ever curious. Just give me a holler and I'll give you more information. I now coach young women who feel old and burnt out and support them in getting their energy back and feeling young again. And I'm also really excited to be here today working on this topic with my amazing co-hosts, Veronica and Kathleen. So one last thing before we start jumping in and giving you these hot tips that we have prepared for you, I did just want to mention to our listeners that you're welcome to call in and have any questions answered if anything comes up for you. Our call-in number for you here is 646-716-9397. One more time, that's 646-716-9397. We'd love to hear from you if you have questions. All right. So with no further ado, let's jump right in. I'd like to start by asking Veronica, what's the number one tip that you would have for our listeners here today for thinking that they would love to start transforming their lives but don't know where to start?
Thank you, Joanne. I think one of the first steps that I'd like to encourage our listeners to try for a self-transformational breakthrough and sustainability would be the number one aspect of setting a clear intention. What is it that you are looking for, searching for, wanting? And be extremely specific about what that is, because I believe, I truly, truly believe that our intentions really holds the key for us to be able to dig in really deeply on what we're searching for and how we can maintain it. So, for instance, if what you're looking for is freedom and being able to have more energy, dig really deeply into what that signifies to you, because those are very broad terms, right? So what does freedom mean to you? What does energy mean to you? And write those things down. I think it's very important for us to stay connected and finding ways to stay consistent. For instance, I always tell my clients to journal a lot and write these things down. Stay connected with people that you trust so that you can get feedback on what your current behaviors have currently been and how those might be affecting you towards your goals. So I think the number one thing is setting that clear intention and be very specific so that you know exactly what you're searching for. And being mindful through that as well is extremely, extremely important to feel what you are experiencing in your head, heart, and body. Those are one of the aspects that I really work very deeply with my clients is setting that intention and coupling it with mindfulness and how those things that you're trying to achieve, how do they affect you mentally? How do they affect you emotionally, which is going to counter-interact with the way your body and the way you act out and how you actually live your life. So obviously your head, heart, and body really does need to be connected with those intentions so that it becomes something that really means and signifies something to you.
Absolutely. I love what you just said about getting your head, getting your heart, and getting your body on board with what that intention is. I think you said it really well. When all of our parts are on board with our goal, then that really can just skyrocket us towards achieving that goal more quickly than we could have imagined previously.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much. That's a really, really important tip, really important action that that Veronica's talking about right here. And all of us are going to take a few minutes after we've all given our tips to discuss and give feedback and talk about what the three of us have all said. So, Veronica, we'll be coming back to you with some discussion about that. And in the meantime, thank you so much for that. That's huge. And I'll be taking a moment right now to offer my first tip. So my first tip, and this goes right along with what Veronica was just saying. In fact, she said it herself. My first tip is to keep a journal. And Veronica is using it in the context of kind of keeping on track with our intentions and with our goals. One thing that I find really useful about keeping a journal in a different way is that by writing down thoughts. Now, when you keep a journal, one of the things I love is that when I'm writing in my journal, I don't have to be polite. I don't have to write in complete sentences or use proper grammar and punctuation. I mean, personally, I usually do anyway because I was an English major, but that's a personal thing. The fact is, I'm not going to be graded on what I write in my journal. I don't even need to read it again after I've written it. One of the most magical things about keeping a journal is that it really slows your thoughts down. So instead of racing a mile a minute, we're able to see kind of on a minuscule level what it is we think about, how we think about the world, how we think about ourselves. it really shines a light on our thought processes, which means that your most profound thoughts can finally really be noticed and valued for being as profound as they are. And in the same way, the way you talk negatively about yourself or about the world can finally really be brought out into the light, so you can see more clearly the tone, the quality of your own thoughts. Now, you might be wondering, what's the benefit of this? Sometimes it can be really scary to think, wow, I'm going to purposely shed a light on the way I think. The scary thing about that is that you might have to do something about it, right? Once you see it, you might not be able to go back to that in the same kind of innocent way. But when you draw attention to how you think and what you think about, the powerful thing is that it does put you in the position to take the driver's seat, to start taking control of how you think, so you can claim how you prefer to think, what you prefer to think about, the ways you prefer to think about yourself and the world and those around you. When you change your thoughts, you actually, you know, it alters the stimulation in your brain, which changes the hormone production in your body, which changes your feelings, which in turn changes the actions that you decide to take. So when you begin to change your thoughts, you really do, in a profound and very real, very concrete way, change the way that you are in the world, the things that you do, and the outcomes that you experience. So that's it for my first tip. And I'd like to pass the ball straight on to Kathleen. Kathleen, what's your first hot tip for our listeners on how to take control of their self-transformation? Kathleen, are you there? It looks like Kathleen dropped off the line by accident. So while we're waiting for her to come back on the line, let's see. I'm wondering, Veronica, do you have another tip prepared for us you'd be willing to share at this time?
Yeah, I just love to reiterate what you just mentioned about the journaling aspect. I think that's a great idea, not just idea, but the whole concept that, you know, you – don't just track, you're not obviously journaling just to track all of your experiences, but also to relieve that tension and pressure, right? It really mm-hmm. does help to sit down and jot down whether you're feeling anxiety, if you're feeling scared, if you're feeling angry. I think that is a great way to relieve a lot of the negative energy that you might be feeling in that moment. So that's extremely important. And also not to forget, we don't want our journals to turn into a negative connotation. We definitely want to also write all the good things. And what I've done and personally and my clients, I encourage them to do, in one journal, one side, let that be your stress reliever section. And then flip it over and make that your gratitude journal, so that you are also writing about what makes you happy and what makes you feel appreciated and loved and all the great things that happen to us on a daily basis. Because as we all know, we're going through a self-transformation period in our lives, and although that might be a very difficult transition, we should always be very mindful of the things that are happening to us that are good, that do energize us, that does fill us up on a daily basis, and really appreciate those things as we're going through that transition. So I really do encourage people to do both. Don't just think of journaling as something that you're only doing when you're stressed, but also doing it when you are happy and fulfilled as well.
Totally, and that is very wise. And I love your the idea of having a journal that's kind of two in one, so that you can have you can let off steam like a pressure cooker when you need to. And I totally agree. It is so important to put energy, draw attention to the times that we're feeling really good, really on top of the world, really happy. The more attention we draw to that, the more our brains start to recalibrate to experience that and to expect that and to create more of that. So if we're looking for happiness, I think you're absolutely right, Veronica. Pay more attention to the happiness that we already have, and that can magnetize more happiness to us.
And I'd just like to add a little bit, because I know Joanne's back on the line, but I just, when we are writing the things that we're really good at and the things that really do energize us, that's the time to go back and actually reevaluate what you've written, because as we go through this call, you'll learn more about our energy blocks, and people call them different things. But when we're energized and when we're feeling good, those are the things that you have to really take into consideration, because those are the things that fills us up. So we really want to be conscientious of those, what those things are, what are the feelings we're experiencing, and what are we doing in those moments so that we can begin to cultivate those aspects of our life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Thank you again for that. And I do see that we have another caller on the line. I think this caller may be Kathleen calling in on a new number. So, caller, I'm going to unmute you. And if you are Kathleen, please let me know. And if you're not, but if you have a question, also please let me know. If you're just calling in to listen over the phone, then you're welcome to stay silent at this time. Okay, I'm going to unmute you now. All right.
Hi.
And caller.
Is this Kathleen?
Yes. Hi, welcome back.
My cell phone overheated, so I'm calling from a different line. So
well,
I'm sorry for the interruption, everyone.
No problem. And thanks so much for calling back. I'm glad you had another phone handy that you're able to use. That's great. Technology, both our greatest friend and our greatest foe.
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
I was surprised because it was the first.
Not a problem. And we'll jump right back in if you're prepared. We lost you right before. We lost you right before we were going to ask you to let us know what your first hot tip is for our listeners.
Well, the journals are absolutely wonderful idea, and they are very, very helpful. And I do also tell my clients that it would be, you know, behoove them to use a journal and write down everything. When the clients come to me and they ask, you know, we're talking and they're like, oh, you know, I have so many things I want to do, but I just don't know where to start, you know, I'm not sure, you know, and that is so perfectly normal and it goes through almost everybody's head. What I ask them to is to ask themselves a few questions and to write it down in their journals as, you know, what they ask. I ask them, you know, what you're telling me, is it something that you truly, truly want? And be honest with yourself, because if you can't be honest with yourself, whatever type of coaching or however you try to move forward, it's not going to work and be sustainable. You need to really reflect on it and be sure that that is truly what you want. The other thing is that you need to set boundaries, and are you willing to set the boundaries to take the time to work on yourself? And are you willing to give yourself the amount of time that you need to do with what you want? I also ask my clients to make a bucket list of all the things that they have ever dreamed of doing or trying or wanting to accomplish but have just never seemed to have gotten there, and to attempt to at least achieve one or two of these, you know, a month, whether it be, you know, reading a book or, you know, some people just, you know, just want to have half an hour to take a bubble bath by themselves without interruptions, and they never in their life have gotten a chance to do it, or to go for a manicure, or to plan a trip, you know, to work towards these goals. And it's one baby step at a time, because that's what it takes. That's what it takes. So my tip is, when you're asking yourself what you truly want, be honest. Be honest with yourself and really, really reflect on is it that important to you? And if it is, then move forward with it, setting your goals one small step at a time. because it's so important to take your time to do it, because the learning is in the process of the doing. The ultimate goal is great, but it's the process that takes you there and all the different lessons that you learn along the way that will help you to achieve your goal and keep it sustainable to where you want it and have it within the routine of your life. So when we talk with my clients and I talk and I ask them, is this something that you truly want? Are you being honest with yourself? And how can we achieve that goal, put a plan in place to achieve it together? And then it all sits to work out. And then they journal on our time between sessions. And then they come back and they're like, you know what? I said I wanted to do this. But as I was reflecting and I'm reading my journal as I'm looking back on it, I'm going, you know, yeah, I want it, but I might not want it as much as I ever thought I did. You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting how everybody journals differently. And the other thing is, you know, I personally, I have journals. I write how I speak, so there's no punctuation. And there's no forgiveness in it. It's straight out. And, you know, a lot of people don't journal because they're afraid somebody might get a hold of it. So my suggestion is to keep it in a private spot that just you know about, you know, and or a locked journal or a locked box or something that no one can get into but you. You know, because let's be honest, we're brutally honest when we journal.
Mm-hmm.
We write down everything, and it might be disappointment in another person or disappointment in how you see yourself or, you know, the day was just a crummy day and you're venting, you know, and you don't want anyone to catch that journal unawares, you know, and read it on you. So I would say keep it under lock and key, you know, but be honest with yourself. You know, if you live alone, it's one thing, but if you're living in a house full of people where there's hardly any privacy, you have to hold some things close.
I think that's
right,
the beauty of...
Go ahead, Rhonda.
Sorry. I was just going to say I think that's the beauty of writing messy and without any punctuation, because hopefully nobody will both know exactly or understand what you're writing but yourself. So be as candid and write as quickly as possible. As long as you can read your own stuff, I think that's great. So don't worry about being messy. That could probably help you in the long run of not anybody else being able to read what you wrote.
Right, and I think that it's absolutely correct that feeling secure and feeling like your thoughts, your innermost thoughts are being kept private will allow a person to be honest. And Kathleen, I think that that's a great tip. You know, we talk a lot about how honesty is the best policy. If you're not able to be honest with yourself, or if you never practiced being honest with yourself, that really can get in the way of leading a life that feels miraculous. And
oh, most definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Most agree. Because
actually,
you don't know how. You don't know
right.
how. You don't know how
right.
to answer those questions, you know. You might think you know, but once you really reflect on them and you look inside and you're like, yeah, gee, I thought that's how I really thought, but you know, once I really took it in and let it sit with me for a little while, and maybe that's not what I want. You know?
I think it's really interesting that we actually didn't collaborate before the call. We had no idea what one another were going to be talking about for our tips, and I think it's really interesting that our first tips all involve, or at least spoke to, the idea of journaling and allowing ourselves to be honest with ourselves, to set a clear intention and write it down and keep coming back to it so that intention that we set at first can remain kind of pure in its original form instead of getting bulked by time and by additional layers of thoughts. So I think that's good to note, listeners. There's three coaches today independently one way or another spoke to journaling. So that's a good indication that that might be a place to start. And before we move on, does anybody have any last thoughts about the tips that we've just heard, Veronica or Kathleen, on all three of the tips?
I do. I'd like to bring up just one thing in regards to setting intentions. I know that a lot of people are big writers and note takers and list makers, because I'm one of them. But not everybody can express themselves very well that way. So I invite other people who don't really like to write a lot to, obviously we want everybody to be engaged in their self-transformation, but don't leave out other ways to express yourself. If you're more of a visual person, create a vision board. That's an extremely fun way to set new intentions and, you know, to spend time, quality time with yourself to actually build your life and watch it come together through your eyes with pictures that stimulate you. So for me and my clients, that's definitely another option if you're not a big journal type person or a list person. Definitely consider doing a vision board, because they are a lot of fun and they make the same impact.
How true. And then if you're a talker and you like you talk things out, you know, and that's how you work out your issues, get a tape recorder. Speak into the tape recorder. Make a recording of yourself and your thoughts and your ideas and your questions that you have, and it will help you. So, you know, we can touch upon every type of learner out there by the different ways that we interact with ourselves on how we do things.
Brilliant.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for bringing that up. Yeah, because it's true that we all learn differently. We all express our thoughts differently. So thank you so much, Veronica, for bringing that up. And we're going to move right along to, and those were great tips. Thanks to both of you for bringing what you did to the table. I think this is really rich so far. We're going to talk for a little while, taking a break from tips, to talk about what we call inner blocks. So coaches will talk a lot about blocks, which are essentially things that get in your way of you achieving your intention, actually, whatever that intention may be. So Veronica's totally right. Having an intention gives you a roadmap for where it is you want to be going and how to get there to make goals for yourself, which is one of the things that Kathleen spoke to. Blocks get in your way in one way or another. There's things that come up in life and in yourself that stop you from achieving that intention. And those can be, a person can experience outer blocks, which, you know, is something out of your control circumstantially in your life keeping you from doing something. You know, maybe your dream is to have a beautiful flower garden that blooms in the winter, but you live in Alaska, so you can't have that unless you move. That's one example of an outer block. We're going to be talking about inner blocks today, which are basically feelings, beliefs, perceptions that hold us back from creating the life or the circumstances that we want to have. And we're going to start with Veronica's going to talk about one of the major inner blocks types, which are referred to as assumptions. So, Veronica, what do you have to tell our listeners about assumptions?
Yes, absolutely. For me, a lot of people talk about blocks in different ways. With my clients, I refer to them as energy blocks. And one of the energy blocks that I try to work with my clients about is, like you said, the assumptions. And assumptions can be identified. Assumptions can be identified by the story that we tell ourselves of what has happened before. If it has happened to me before, it can happen to me again. So be something, for instance, if you did complain and now that you're going to a new interview, like, oh, why do I bother going to this interview? I'm not going to get this job just because it happened before. So it's just becoming aware of the energy blocks that might be coming up through your transformation period in your life. But those are the poignant times in your life where you are going to experience some sort of a setback, and it's usually around an energy block. If there is that energy block, that's usually where people fall off their goals or they just feel the fear come up. Again, like what I said, your head, heart, and body. So if you're having an assumption and you're aware of that story of that it has happened to me before and now it's going to happen to me again, how is that story playing in your head? And then be very mindful of how does that manifest in your heart. So what is the emotion you're feeling around that assumption? And then what is your reaction? So there's the head, heart, and body aspect of it. What is your reaction from that assumption? Some people, they just stop on their tracks and they stop doing anything. Some people become very aggressive or angry. So be very aware of how it's manifesting altogether. And once you become more aware of those aspects, you become in control of the assumption as opposed to the assumption being in control of you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I love it. Thank you so much for shedding light on assumptions, which is something that kind of culturally we talk about a little bit, usually in a finger-pointy way. You know, if somebody says, you know what they say about assumptions, right? And I won't go further just, for politeness. But Veronica's absolutely right. Assumptions can be something that we hold deeply and that can have a negative impact on the way we live our lives. So thank you so much, Veronica, for saying all of that for our listeners. And that's awesome. And I want to ask Kathleen if she would like to speak to another major energy block or inner block, interpretations. Kathleen, what do you have to say about interpretations for our listeners?
Interpretations are the way that we perceive a person or an event or a situation that comes upon us. There could be 100 people at one event, and everyone will interpret that event slightly different than the one before them. So it's a picture, and it's how we look at the picture and how our mind interprets it or gives us an explanation of it. So if you go into an interview for a new job and you're trying to read these people and the picture doesn't look so friendly to you, that's your interpretation of it. So we might, interpret the people that are around us to not be so friendly when in actual fact they probably are. It's just the way you look at it. A conversation can be interpreted different ways on how you hear it, where you might think it might be something, so helpful, it really might be underlying trying to teach you a lesson or a warning. But it's all how we see and we hear things, and our mind interprets things the way that you want it to. And it's all about how you were brought up and the environment that you live in and your energy level. If you have a positive energy level, you're going to see things positively, and you're going to see the good in things. If your energy level is low, then you might not see it, as it really is. So we have to be careful with our interpretations because they can stop us from doing several things that we want to accomplish just because the interpretation might not be right. It's just the way that we see it. So
absolutely.
Before you jump to conclusions about someone, something, or a situation, you should really sit back for a moment and really take a good look at it through clear eyes. And you might see it totally differently.
Right, because there are always different ways to look at things. And kind of going back to choosing the way we think, you know, there's definitely an extent to which we can look at a situation, notice that we're having a negative interpretation, and ask ourselves, how would somebody who I really look up to, who looks at things positively, how would somebody like that see this situation? Start looking at the world or the situation at hand through the eyes of somebody else, even if they're not there to ask. You know, just imagining what they would say if you've got such a role model can be a huge catalyst for ourselves beginning to see the world that way, in the way that we wish to see the world. Interpretations are powerful, and we can use them purposefully. All right.
Most
Thank
definitely.
You so much, Kathleen, for that.
You're
we are just about at the bottom of the hour, so I want to take a moment for our listeners to let them know what's coming up next on the Life Coach Radio Network. If you're enjoying today's show with Veronica and Kathleen and I, then you're probably going to love the next shows that we have coming up. Tomorrow, we have an episode of Mark My Words with life and business coach Mark Schall. And that is going to be airing at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Mark is going to be working or on the air with special guest Joseph Massey, certified health and wellness coach. Very quickly, he says, like many people, you may have spent lots of money on gym memberships and don't use them. Maybe you've bought home equipment only to end up hanging your clothes on it, storing it under your bed. That sounds familiar. Perhaps you've tried diets for a short interval only to find yourself back to eating foods that rob you of energy and vitality. Why? The answers will surprise you. What can we do about it? Tune in tomorrow to find the answers. Call us live on the air to get your questions answered. That sounds great. Looking forward to that. All right. And on Monday, the 8th, we've got an episode of Frank Talk, Make Your Life More Luminous. Now, this is going to be with host David Frank Gomes. And in this episode, we're going to be discussing how to make your life brighter, lighter, and more alive. Sounds awesome. And that's going to be... Let me just find that one more time. That's going to be airing on July 8th at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. And finally, on July 9th at 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific time, Fun to Fortune with Coach Jeff. That sounds like something I would love to listen to. Join this conversation for those who have created fun businesses and uncovered their fortunes in the process. Callers and guests will share their inspiration, their business, and what makes it fabulous, challenges and obstacles, and what helps them persevere and prosper. Listeners will leave inspired, informed, educated, perhaps a new idea or perspective through conversations and coaching. That sounds great. So, again, that is Fun to Fortunes with Coach Jeff on July 9th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific time. All right, and now jumping right back into our conversation today, right now, if you're just joining us, Veronica and Kathleen and I are currently discussing inner blocks towards achieving our goals and the lives of our dreams, and we're also discussing hot tips for practical ways to get where we want to go. And I'm just about to share another one of the major inner blocks that people will often experience when they're attempting to move forward in life. And this particular inner block is referred to as limiting beliefs. Limiting beliefs are something that we accept about life or about ourselves or about other people around us or about the world that limits us in some ways. Usually it's something that we believe, but that comes from outside of us, and it limits us in some way. So it's like a seed that was planted in us at one time in the past that has grown roots, and it's starting to sprout, and its effects are showing up in our lives because we don't realize that not everybody believes this. We don't realize that it's not like a law of nature. It's something that was, like I said, planted in us, that we live our lives by this rule that that's just the way the world is, even though it's not necessarily true. Limiting beliefs are rules that we think we have to live our lives by as opposed to the rules that we want to live our lives by. It's a really important distinction because we can think we have to do something and want to do something else, but we feel really... keyword is limited, so really limited by this belief. Like, good example is money. Good example of a limiting belief is that money is hard to come by. So if you believe that money is hard to come by, you may live your life like that. You may limit yourself to the type of job that you are able to have. Again, if you go to that famous job interview that the three of us have been talking about all through this part of the discussion, and let's say it's for a job that doesn't offer a lot of money. You might find yourself there in the seat and say, well, this job sounds really good and it doesn't pay very well, but it's a good opportunity, and, you know, money really is hard to come by, so I'm going to have to work really hard at this job because it's all I can hope to get. Perhaps another way of looking at it, if we talk about what Ethelene just talked about with interpretations, perhaps somebody else with a different belief might say, wow, you know, this job would be really fun. This seems like a great job, but it doesn't pay very well. And I know that money's not very hard to come by. That's their belief, not quite as limiting as the limiting belief of money being hard to come by. So I think that I would rather continue to look for another job that would offer just as good an opportunity, but pay me more highly, so that I can really, you know, experience the lifestyle that I want to have, as opposed to kind of slogging through things and feeling like life is a fight because money is hard to come by. So moving right along, the final inner block that we're going to discuss today is one that Veronica is going to address. This can be known by a lot of different names. Today we're referring to them as gremlins, which is a really cute, funny name for something that can be a bit of a destructive force in our lives. Veronica, what do you have to tell our listeners about gremlins?
I could speak on the gremlin all day, but obviously we are here on limited time. So people who are listening, I think the best way that they can identify if they're having a gremlin experience is that it also can be different things. Like you said, it could be called gremlin. It could be called the inner voice, the inner critic. And usually the inner critic manifests itself when it's telling you that you are not good enough. So usually if your inner critic or in your own head you're affirming yourself that you're not good enough, you're usually telling yourself, I'm too inexperienced to get this job, or I am too experienced to get this job, I'm too tall or I'm too short to be able to do this, that. So it's definitely geared around not feeling like you are good enough. And it's a very personal energy block because it's definitely geared around our filters and our personal and past experiences that we've had. So it manifests through some kind of management mechanism where we had to tell ourselves certain things to get through a certain negative experience. So be mindful that if you are telling yourself that you're not good enough for something, that's usually who the critic, the inner critic, is what's speaking to you in the moment. And what I tell my clients is that when you are experiencing the inner critic that's blocking you from doing the things that you want, you know, take the time to get to know your inner critic. We all have them. There's not one person out there, including us coaches, who doesn't have an inner critic. So get acquainted with your inner critic. A good way is to name it. Name your inner critic, obviously not after someone that you know or someone that you've had a past experience with, but get to know that inner critic and learn, when does he or she come up for you? When is this inner critic stopping you from doing something? And what is the purpose? What are they trying to save you or protect you from? So be mindful of those aspects with an inner critic so that you can begin to tame it and actually get it to work for you instead of you working for it. There is a great book that I'd like to mention called Taming My Gremlin. I can't tell you the author at the top of my head, but go ahead and go on Amazon. It's called Taming My Gremlin, and it's a great interactive book for you to start learning how to actually have your gremlin work for you instead of you work for your gremlin.
Wow. I did not know that book exists. That sounds like a great resource. Taming My Gremlin. I'm going to be looking that up on Amazon as soon as the call is over. All right. Thank you so much for that, Veronica. What good information. And I especially love that you mentioned that we all have a gremlin or an army of gremlins or somebody who I've read refers to it as the inner meanie. Even coaches have this. You know, it can be really easy to start to think that the people who you look up to or the people who you go to help develop yourself, that those people have transcended the gremlin or the inner critic. And the fact is that we do all have this part of us that engages in like negative self-talk. And it is because of that, it is important, just like Veronica is saying, to get to know that inner voice so that when it comes up, we can identify it and we can say, wow, you know, that's that part of me having something to say again, and I can choose to engage and hurt myself by engaging, or I can choose to thank it for what it has to say and find another way to maneuver my way through this situation that will not be as harmful to myself. So thank you so much for bringing that to our attention, Veronica. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And moving right ahead, we've got just a few minutes left to our program. So really quickly, in about a minute or two, Kathleen, would you be able to tell us about your second hot tip for how to take concrete steps towards self-transformation?
Sure. My second tip is to make sure you take time for yourself. We, every one of us, get so caught up in the everyday events and the situations and the going-ons, and a lot of us seem to put ourselves on the back burner and do for everybody first instead of taking care of what we need to for our own self-being. And it's very important that you learn to take care of yourself and put yourself back up on the front burner. And because this is the thing, it's like the airplane scenario when the stewardesses go over the use of the air mask. You're to put yours on first and then put your child's on last. And it's done for a reason. And the reason is that if you put your child's on first and then the air pressure in the cabin drops and you pass out, you're not any good to anybody else. So we need to take care of ourselves, both our mind and our body, together so that we're in tune with ourselves and you know what you need for you. Mothers especially get into this. They they do for everybody within their household, and then they fall ill, and never realizing that they might have, you know, they might have been able to catch the symptoms earlier because they weren't paying attention to them. Or they get drained and overwhelmed, and then by the time the kids reach a certain age, they're looking in the mirror going, what happened? What happened and where did I go? The college student who is so busy trying to get all the work done and everything is starting to pile up and they're just so frantic because they have to make a deadline and they don't know where to start first. I have had several of these over the past year, my daughter included, who is really on top of things. So I was kind of surprised. So my for them was is that, you know, stop. Take 10 minutes. Go outside. Have a cup of coffee. Walk around. Breathe in the air. Be quiet with yourself and just be. And then go back. And you can look at the situation differently and reassess it and set your priorities to what you know you need to have done right now. But if you don't
Absolutely.
Take care of yourself, you're not going to be healthy enough and or use enough for to take care of anybody else. So if you can find 10 minutes during the day within your busy schedule to just go outside and just be or just to get away from everybody and think or, you know, 10 minutes to exercise or 10 minutes to read a book or just 10 minutes for something that you need for you. And even if you do it in several different 10-minute blocks every couple hours, not only are you going to feel better about yourself because you're taking that step for you, for your freedom, but you're also rejuvenating your mind and your body by doing so. And it's so
right.
important.
And when we take But absolutely, when we take care of ourselves, we've got a lot more energy that we can give to the things that we also prioritize, like our families and our responsibilities. That's a great tip. Thank you so much, Kathleen.
Yeah.
And it actually coincides really well with my second tip. I shouldn't be surprised because our first tips were really aligned with one another. Our second tip seemed to be as well. My second tip is to take yourself on dates. The idea is to get to know yourself, what you like, what makes you tick, what you love, what you don't like so much, what kind of environment do you love to be in? Do you love to be in the bright sunshine or the dappled shade or the dark of night? Do you like to be in a dim, sexy nightclub or an upscale restaurant or a museum that is full of artifacts from history that really brings the past to life for you? It's important to know these things about ourselves. You know, these things all give us energy, and they feed us, which is what Kathleen was talking about too, taking time to ourselves to feed ourselves, feed our souls. When we go places alone, we not only get to connect with the place and the experience of being there, which can be enjoyable, but also with the part of ourselves that feels fulfilled by the things that feed us. And we learn how to nurture ourselves, which is also, again, what Kathleen was talking about. It begins to turn the process of making our happiness and fulfillment a priority, that becomes effortless. It begins to become effortless. And it also begins to become part of our daily lives. It's something that we begin to learn how to naturally give to ourselves. I used to work at a museum, and I would see thousands and thousands and thousands of groups come into the museum every year. I would see family groups. I would see friend groups. I would see couples come together. I would see a lot of school groups. And very rarely did I see anybody going there alone. And here's the major difference. When I saw people come in groups, I saw them focus on their group. I would see couples talking with one another. I would see parents looking out for their kids and for their spouses, or, you know, looking out for their kids and kind of rolling their eyes that their spouse had escaped and was wandering around by themselves. I would see, obviously, teachers constantly doing the head count, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 kids, you know, and then 5 seconds later, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 kids. So your attention becomes divided. Your attention ceases to be on the surrounding and the unique experience that you're having and more on the group of people that you're with, which is really important. You know, we, most of us love people and we want to engage with people. When I would see people come alone, though, which happened very rarely, I would see them so immersed in the experience of being at the museum. They were shining. Their hearts were shining so brightly. They were clearly fascinated by what they were experiencing and what was around them. And the questions that they asked were usually brilliant because of the level of engagement with what they were doing. So when I say go on dates by yourself, I don't necessarily mean to completely eschew the importance of also taking time with your loved ones. But what I do want to emphasize is the importance of getting to know yourself by really deeply immersing in something that you love by yourself so that it becomes an experience of you at your greatest. And then again, that begins to draw that more and more to you.
How true, and what a great way to put it, because, you know, some people are afraid to be alone. They're afraid to go out to dinner by themselves. What will, you know, people are looking at me, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you, I was like that for years until I had to do a session up north, and it was the first time I traveled by myself and the first time I stayed in a hotel by myself, and it was the first time that I actually had to go and have dinner alone. And I was determined to do it. And what if you just give yourself into the unknown and put your fear aside, the gremlin aside, and your assumption and your interpretation of what people will think, and you can go in and you do it, oh, my gosh, what such a wonderful experience. And you learn so much about yourself,
mm-hmm.
and you grow into being the true you. What an experience it is. What an experience.
Totally. Yes. Yes. And what a great story, too, for you to be able to bring to the table, you know, really affirming the fact that going out on a limb and doing something by yourself really can be life-changing. Thank you for bringing that.
Oh, it is. It's
Veronica. I'd like to ask Veronica, what is her final tip for self-transformation?
Yes, I think my last tip would be, and just like you mentioned earlier in the show, I have a three-step process, which is discover, grow, and sustain. And the last one is sustain. So what I'd like to give our listeners as a final tip would be to really prepare yourself for setbacks, because they are definitely part of the journey for self-transformation. And it's extremely important for us to understand that the struggle portion of our journey is only part of the journey. And we must learn to reframe what we normally tell ourselves in our society, which is the failures. We really tend to affirm ourselves when we make mistakes. And I really encourage our listeners to reframe that word into something different, something positive. So reframe it as a life learning experience, not a failure. And to know that the struggle portion of this journey that you're going through is just part of the experience. And generally, as we struggle through the experience and the journey, that's where the golden nuggets really are. That's where we really do take the time. If we're really being mindful with ourselves through this process, it's where we're really going to learn a lot about ourselves. So don't think of it, oh, okay, I made a mistake, now I have to stop and start all over. Actually, it's the opposite. That is when we have to become more centered and more mindful of what's happening to us, because usually when we have that stack, we're usually experiencing one of those energy blocks we just talked about. And also, I'd like to tell our listeners to accept responsibility of what that setback was all about and acquire the knowledge. That's where the journaling really comes in. Like, what happened to us in that moment? what was happening in my head, what story was I telling myself, which obviously manifested into my emotion, which is the heart part of the process. And then obviously there was an external action, which is part of the experience of our body. So we really want to take all those things in consideration. And again, the most important part of it is that the struggle is not the failure. It's just part of the journey.
Yes. What a beautiful way to start wrapping up the show. Veronica, that is profound. Thank you so much for making sure that our listeners don't leave the show without hearing that. You know, it really, I completely agree, is so kind to ourselves to experience our setbacks as, like you said, seeing the gold nuggets inside what we're programmed to think of as failures, but instead are the parts of our lives that really show us what we're capable of. I know I had an experience a few years ago that was utterly heartbreaking. And what I discovered through that experience was that I'm capable of turning my heartbreak into a very profound spiritual experience and learning to love even harder, even greater through that experience. And if I had chosen instead to feel defeated by it, then I would be a different person today. And I much prefer the person who I am because of the decision to find the gold in that setback. And so, yes, Veronica, thank you. Thank you for bringing that up.
You're very welcome.
And I wanted to ask, we are at the top of the hour now, so we are about to wrap up. And I wanted to ask the two of you for, one or two sentences in closing, if you have anything left that you're burning to say. And also, please let us know, let our listeners know how they can get in touch with you and find you on the internet or whatever is the best way to find you. So, Kathleen, let's start with you. One or two sentences to wrap up, if you have any. And how can our listeners find you?
The first thing is be sure you know what you want. So ask yourself the important questions. Take some time for you so that you can regenerate your emotions and your physical self and your mind. The other thing is be okay with the setbacks. They're all learning experiences. Recognize them, learn from them, and move forward. Because we wouldn't be who you are today without those setbacks. They make you stronger. You might not think so, but in the end, they do. They do make you stronger. I can also be reached on Facebook at Quest Coaching. It's K-W-E-S-T, Coaching. And my email is questcoaching.com. So I can be caught by either or.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me today.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to have you on the air, Kathleen. Veronica, what about you? Closing thoughts, and how can we get in touch with you?
Absolutely. I think my closing thoughts would be to let our listeners know that change is inevitable, but growth is definitely intentional. And that we are designed for greater things. Better is in our nature, and it's in the fabric fibers of our being. And to never, never forget that, no matter what we are going through in the moment. And you can also reach me at lifeleaderscoaching.com. There is a great resource page there where you can learn more about the energy blocks we talked about today. Also, some tips about mindfulness and meditation, if anybody's interested in that. Also, you can find me at our Facebook page, which is Life Leaders Coaching. There's great articles on there on a daily basis and positive affirmations, which is great for our transformational journey. We need positivity when we're going through something powerful in our lives. And for any of our listeners who are interested in taming your gremlin book, I do have some copies. So the first three people to reach out to me at info@lifeleaderscoaching.com can get a free book from me.
Oh, wow.
Very nice.
What a great deal. I hope that our listeners will snap that up because that is an awesome deal. What a great resource and how cool that you're offering that for free. So if you're listening live, how can they get that book, Rhonda?
You can go ahead and email me at info@lifeleaderscoaching.com.
Great. info@lifeleaderscoaching.com. Email Veronica now for a free copy of Taming Your Gremlin, Taming My Gremlin. Thank you so much, Veronica. And in closing, I wanted to thank my amazing co-hosts, Veronica and Kathleen, for all of your insights today and your tips. I think that it can feel so difficult to know that there's something in your life that you want to transform. There are patterns that you have that you see over and over again that you're reenacting. And it can be so painful to know that you're ready to change, but you have no idea where to start. So the tips that we brought forward today are just the tip of the iceberg for how to get started in moving forward towards something that you envision for yourself that's greater than where you are now. Or where you have, you know, perhaps friends and family may not know how to move forward either. And so it can be odd to step out of that that sort of well-worn path that everyone around you has been walking for so long. But more power to you when you decide to move forward. Thank you for listening, picking up our tips. And if you have any desire to reach out to me, I can be found most readily at my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/imaginationlady, and that's all one word, facebook.com/imaginationlady. And I also wanted to take one more moment to just remind you that tomorrow you can join us, or not the three of us, but you can tune into the Life Coach Radio Network at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific for Mark My Words with life and business coach Mark Shaw on July 8th at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific. We'll be having an episode of Frank Talk, Make Your Life More Luminous, and on July 9th at 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, we're having another episode of Plunge of Fortunes with Coach Jeff. So thank you all for joining us today. I hope you had a great time. I know I had a blast. And we'll talk to you again soon. Have a great day. Have a great Saturday, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.